It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Bafangul, don't be a chooch. What's up, everybody? It is Sunday night, the 15th of October, 2023. I am back once again for the sit down. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's having a good weekend. I am here live. It's about 8.05 p.m. Shout out to everybody who is joining me live. Shout out to everybody who is checking out the archive. Shout out to Guardian of Chaos and Austin Nance, who are always helping, holding down the ship in the live chat. And that's what it's all about on Sunday nights. Very simple. On Sunday, it's the lazy show. I know we should actually call it that, but I show up with nothing. No preset news. Whatever you want to talk about tonight, that's what we talk about. The only requirements, if you want to help dictate what we talk about on tonight's episode, you have to be in the chat, obviously, and you tell me, you know, if you have a question that you want me to answer, go in the chat, just write the word question before it so I can spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to share with everyone all across the globe, go in the chat, write comment, and as always, super chats are never required, but they're appreciated. They help pay the bills, obviously, keeps me in business, and will always get VIP treatment. So, with the incidentals, the formalities out of the way, let's kick this off, because I know your time is precious as mine, and I know you guys have a lot you want to talk about. All right, before we get into that, I saw that, who is this? Sal posted a $10 super chat right before we started. Evening, DT, what are my thoughts on Billy Corgan bringing back the territories? I don't have a problem with it. Good luck. And I don't mean that in a nasty way. Listen, Billy Corgan has done a good job with NWA in the last bunch of years. I still feel that he never recovered from COVID. Yes, they're still in business. Yes, they actually have a pretty damn good roster. Some great talent on that show. But when COVID hit and they really took that hiatus, it killed a lot of their momentum. And they also had a lot of talent that were allowed to get up and leave because they were not paying or doing shows. I mean, listen, COVID was a serious thing, so I'm not going to criticize him. But, you know, when you got your Thunder Roses leave and your Ricky Starks leave and you leave others, you have others leave. For some reason, you know, Zicky Dice just hit a brick wall and he ended up quietly leaving. And my God, you never really hear his name all that much. And yes, I know he's made appearances, you know, on television, AEW, Ring of Honor, whatever. But as far as bringing back territories, I think it's more of a money play. And I also think it's a way of trying to keep NWA's name seem bigger than what it is. Back in the mid-2000s, now, I haven't been able to do any research, I'm seeing this question live on the show, but I do remember in the mid-2000s when I was working behind the scenes with Frank Goodman and USA Pro Wrestling, 3PW, NWA Cyberspace, which was kind of a developmental. See, this is what you got to understand too. It's not developmental territories. It's territories. You got NWA Ohio. You got NWA New York. You got NWA New Jersey. I remember, I can't remember his name right now, but NWA Cyberspace. That was New Jersey's NWA. And they had territories in the mid-2000s. But honestly, those territories really didn't amount to any profit. And in the mid-2000s, and I have a feeling this is going to happen with Billy Corgan, Bill Behrens, anybody remember the name Bill Behrens? Bill Behrens worked and was a high up in NWA TNA, and in the mid-2000s, I would say 2005 maybe, 2006, around that time period, they announced that if you had an indie promotion and you were not under the NWA banner, you could book TNA talent, but you had to pay a fee. And I think the fee was like 15%. And that may not sound like a hell of a lot of money, but if you book 6-8 wrestlers on your show that worked in TNA at the time, and listen, here in the Northeast at the time, you had the SATs, Amazing Red, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles. You had some pretty, you know, big names. And now you had, if you paid them $600-$800 each, and you now got to dish out another $100, $130 for each guy, you know, you that adds up pretty quick, especially when you're an indie promotion. And you'd be lucky if you draw 500 people. So, you know, a lot of promotions were pissed off. And I remember, I think it was 3PW that what they did, and Jasmine St. Clair was very, very smart. I don't know how far they went, but right before the fee began for NWA TNA, she booked AJ Styles and somebody else, it might have been Christopher Daniels, for the remainder of the whole year. So before the fee went into effect, promotions were trying to sign deals with all these TNA guys and get them deals for shows in advance. This, because once you inked the deal, as long as it was before the fees were instituted, you didn't have to pay it. I don't know how long NWA was able to do that with the fees. I know it fizzled out after a few years because promotions were not going to pay for it. So honestly, Bill, as far as Billy Corgan goes, I wish him well. The thing is, you know, with all due respect, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels is not EC3 and Colby Carino. You know what I mean? So you look at NWA's current roster, who in Ohio, who in Jersey, who is under the radar that no one knows about that is going to suddenly become, you know, that kind of value. You know, if there's names out there that should be discovered, I'm sure WWE, AEW, MLW, I'm sure they would have scouted. They have people scouting promotions. So I think this is to keep the NWA name alive, to make it feel bigger than what it is. If you have NWA Ohio, NWA Texas, NWA Colorado, it feels big. But if you look at NWA Ohio and their champion is Joe Schmuck, you know what I mean? So I don't blame Billy Corgan for doing this, and I hope he succeeds. I hope he succeeds. But this is not, you know, the mid-2000s NWA. So that's what I have to say about that. So thank you, Sal, for that. Much appreciated. One Fall. My God. Thank you, my friend. Send in. Let me go call Uber. Uber Eats. No. Thank you. I really appreciate it. One Fall Podcast sent in a 50 spot. Hey, DT, any thoughts on Triple H's nonsense booking about not finishing stables and feuds extended for months and months and months? To me, it's a stupid idea. You don't have to super whatever the second half of your post was. I will read it for everyone. You just post it as a regular comment. Look, you know, this is, I say this about AEW. You look at Don Callis. You look at Prince Nana. By the way, I just got Nana's shirt yesterday. Wow, that was fast. I ordered Nana's shirt about a week ago, 10 days at the most. It arrived. I'll probably wear it tomorrow night. Someone actually offered to super chat me $100 if I do Nana's dance. I don't know. And trust me, I think he would probably get a kick out of it. I just don't need, like, hip muscles to, like, you know, like, go south of the border. So I don't want to injure myself or look like a complete fool, you know. But look, as far as not finishing stables and feuds, this goes for WWE, this goes for TNA, this Impact Wrestling, this goes for AEW. You know, just because you start building a stable doesn't mean that it's going to catch on with fans. You know, sometimes, you know, you start doing something and you start feeling it out, you get the vibes and you see the social media reaction. And yes, social media is a very tiny percentage of the overall fans, but it does give you some insight as far as what the world is viewing. And Bloodline is a great example of that, the Bloodline. And, you know, everybody was just, this is cinema, this is the greatest thing in 30 years. And this is not just WWE gushers. These are wrestling fans that are just praising the crap out of the Bloodline. So they milked as much juice as they could out of it. And what started happening was they were hitting brick walls. Let's be honest. It took them a month before Jey Uso could decide, you know, if he's, you know, still in or if he's out or Jimmy, whatever they were doing at the time. Remember the Judgment Day with Jimmy Uso? Like, for 3 weeks, they actually did a storyline of Jimmy Uso was going to join the Judgment Day. I mean, honestly, even my dead grandmother, who's been dead since 1991, who was a wrestling fan, she's like, DT, I'm sorry, that actually came out the wrong way. DT, he ain't joining Judgment Day. No, nobody believed it. It's like, oh, because we did it with the Bloodline, now we could tease it with the Judgment Day. You know, it was like when the Judgment Day went up to AJ Styles, the Judgment Day went up to this person. We would love for you to be part of our group, your family here. And when someone says no, they would get beat up. You know, it's just sometimes you get something good and you try to juice, milk, you know, squeeze every drop out of it. And sometimes you're, you know, trying to make, give it momentum and it's not working. You know, you see Don Callis. Don Callis is doing a great job in AEW. And Takeshka fits in like a glove. Now you want to add this person or you want to add this person, or Nick Wayne. And I'm just throwing random names out there. Then you start feeling like, all right, you know, just because it worked with this person doesn't mean it works for this person. Sometimes you have to end things abruptly. Sometimes you have to. You know, what's interesting is that by them splitting up Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you know, the idea of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn being part of a War Games team, you know, at Survivor Series, kind of gets a little thrown out the window simply because you just feel like there ain't no way that WWE is going to reunite Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn just for one premium live event. They put on different brands for a reason. Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso, those teasers will be there, but they're probably going to do something at WrestleMania. So as far as stables go, you know, it's, you got to sometimes throw shit on the wall and see if it sticks. Nana is doing an amazing job, you know, and I love to see it, obviously. But, you know, at the same time, though, fans know if someone is truly getting pushed or not. And I think back to Rusev Day. Remember Rusev Day? And, you know, it was so over. And everybody was buying the shirts and everybody, Rusev Day! And it went nowhere. And then, you know, a year later, whatever it was, we find out that I think Vince told Miro that they're not cheering with you. They're not like they're cheering at you, or it's not really over. They're just doing it just to do it. You know what I mean? And with like the Mogul Assembly, you see how the crowd reacts to Swerve and you see others. But, you know, that's why I'm very critical about AEW's micromanaging of Swerve Strickland. Because still, deep down inside, I don't think he's ever going to become AEW heavyweight champion. Yeah, maybe Ring of Honor champion. Yeah, maybe AAA, AA, single A, quadruple A, New Japan, anything except the letters AEW. Fans could feel if people are legitimately getting elevated to the next level. With all due respect, Nick Wayne main evented a Dynamite. So just because Swerve main events or someone else main events, you know, we've had people main event Dynamites, you know, that you're like, okay, you know, why? Because he's in his hometown. Sometimes you got to throw shit on the wall and see if it sticks. But fans are not stupid. If fans think that, you know, something that has legit momentum is intentionally not being elevated because management feels otherwise, they're going to put their attention somewhere else. So thank you, OneFall, for that. Thank you. All right. Let's go over to the chat. Will Viral Sport, Rally One, have I noticed women and wrestlers like Tegan Knox, Xia Li, Indy Hartwell, Johnny Gargano, all appearing on TV? Triple H's decision, do I think, to use everyone, not just use them on the WWE main event? Yeah, I definitely think it's a Triple H decision. I'm not criticizing it, but like I said a week ago, you know, I see people out there, and I'm not just talking about the everyday wrestling fan. I'm talking about writers, podcasters, and people that have, you know, some, you know, amount of legitimacy, that simply because they're back on TV, that all is well in WWE creative. Oh, thank you. Vince is no longer in charge. Oh, we finally getting Cameron Grimes. Look, Cameron Grimes is back on TV. Thank you, Triple H, that Elmo with the fire. And meanwhile, I'm saying to myself, does anybody really think Xia Li is going to get any fucking type of push whatsoever? Honestly, I am one of the biggest fans of Xia Li. She's not at the top of my list, but I'm one of her biggest fans. But just because she gets a random match against Becky Lynch doesn't mean that suddenly she's back on TV and in the title hunt. Indy Hartwell was one of my favorites in NXT, and I said, do not put her to the main roster. Do not put her to the main roster. And people are like, why? If you really are a big fan of hers, you want her to get promoted. I said, yeah, not now. What the fuck are they? What did I say they're going to do? They're going to recreate the way. Just because it was popular in NXT doesn't mean it's going to be popular in the main roster. Plus, you can't spend as much time on the main roster. So what happens? She goes to the main roster. She does nothing. Nothing. I know there was an injury for a little while, but she does nothing. So what happens eventually? She's back on NXT trying to become a number one contender for the women's championship. You know, just because somebody is on TV doesn't mean that all is well in the creative world. So when I see, you know, in the last 10 days, oh, look, Cameron Grimes is on TV, Xia Li is back, and oh, we saw Candice LeRae in the Indy. Yeah, and what? And what? Are they suddenly going to have championships? Are they going to get pushed? No, they're replacing people who were released. People forget we had 20-some-odd people released. Some people have to fill those roles, and that's that. And if you really want to get technical, oh, Cameron Grimes is on TV. Well, what happened to Karrion Kross and Scarlett? Oh, Xia Li is on TV. Oh, what about Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson? You know, so you could cherry pick. I'm not saying you, but people could cherry pick and say, oh, everything is great. Vince is out of creative. Yeah, that doesn't mean that everything is great. It means that some names are back on TV, but they're getting squashed like a grape? Really? Does that really amount to anything? Oh, but I get to see them. All right. Shout out to Guardian of Chaos, holding down the fort. Two questions. Any thoughts on the upcoming movie release, Iron Claw, and Brian Solomon's book on Gorilla Monsoon? I have not checked out the details on Brian Solomon's book yet, but Brian Solomon is one of very few people that I have always appreciated. Brian Solomon, if some of you out there don't know that name, do a little research. You'll want to know that name, especially as far as wrestling history goes. Brian Solomon is good people. I will check out what he's going to put about Gorilla Monsoon. I'm curious. As far as Iron Claw goes, I posted a couple of screenshots of the film yesterday on the Don Tony show. I am extremely excited to see that film. You know, the one thing, and I think I even mentioned Brian Solomon's name yesterday. It was either him or Keith Elliott Greenberg. I don't remember which person said it. I think it was Brian Solomon. The more I think about it, I think he said something like, "Well, I hope that the movie is accurate, and I hope that they don't, you know, add things to it to like blur history." With all due respect, as much as I like that guy, whether it's him or Santa Claus that said it, if you don't think Hollywood is not going to sensationalize and exaggerate for dramatic purposes, then either you're in denial or don't know how Hollywood operates. You know, I know it sounded awful when I said it yesterday. I'll say it again now. No one truly knows, you know, what Kerry Von Erich did, you know, right before he did what he did. You know, even some of the other Von Erichs, you don't know those last seconds. You could guess, assume, even if there was a letter left, but they're going to dramatize it and really grasp at the strings. You know, there was a lot of secrets that Kerry Von Erich took to his grave. On the movie, they're going to try to portray that some of those secrets were public to the family, to a certain female. You know, so it's not going to be 100% accurate. So what? So what? I think of the movie JFK. I haven't watched that movie in years, maybe even decades. But I remember when I watched that movie, I fucking was fascinated by it. And yes, parts of it was distorted, exaggerated, fabricated, assumed for movie purposes. Does that make it a bad film? No. JFK was a tremendous film. So I'm telling you, I saw that trailer and I was like, I gotta see this. In fact, I mentioned it right at the end of yesterday's show. I haven't been to the movies since Lord of the Rings was out. And all I remember from the Lord of the Rings movie was that gollop that went, "My precious!" That's the only part I remember from the film. I don't remember anything from the movie except for that fucking scene. But I do know that's the last time I've been in a movie theater. I will go to the movie theater to see Iron Claw. Absolutely. And I might be going to Florida in February. So if I don't see it immediately, I may wait till February and see it in a movie theater in Florida. I sure as hell ain't going to no movie theaters in Brooklyn or Queens over here. Oh, fucking hell no. No. They either smell like shit or, you know, the people inside you have to be a little concerned about. But unless I get a bootleg and I watch it from home. But, yeah, I really can't wait to see that movie. Absolutely. That is a movie that I promise you all, even if you know nothing about the Von Erich family, you'll want to see this movie. You will. From what I've seen so far, it looks almost impossible for them to fuck it up. So. All right. Let's see. Jonathan Mitchell, who likes the general manager of SmackDown? I thought Nick Aldis did a great job. He did a great job. I mean, they should have done the GMs a year or two ago. You know, even when they were doing the drafts, you know, they should have had Sonya Deville on one brand, Adam Pearce on the other. They never did that. Now they're doing it with Nick Aldis on SmackDown and Adam Pearce on Raw. I absolutely am into it. I mean, we know what GMs are. You know, I mean, GMs have been around for decades. We know what they are. You know, but I always bring up Cody, you know, saying that you won't see a GM in AEW because nobody believes that the GM really has power. Guess what? Nobody believed that Jay Cargill legitimately pinned 90-100 people. You know, nobody believes that this part, it's everything about pro wrestling is entertainment. Everything about it is. And what's more believable? a GM or Jay White is in the ring and he's got MJF's title and MJF wants it back and MJF is the head of the entire AEW and he's the biggest name in the company and Tony Khan is always outside looking for ice cream. Think about just storyline purposes. Why doesn't Tony Khan order Jay White to return the title, the Triple B, to MJF? Tony Khan suddenly is absent. Oh, I didn't even know. I was on Twitter. You know, it's GMs are fine. No wrestling fan is going to say, I don't believe that William Regal booked that match in AEW. William Regal, you really don't have authority. It's Tony Khan. Oh, those people are the ones you just politely like, oh, look how cute. And you just like move away from them as quickly as possible. Act like they farted. Like just distance yourself so you don't have to smell that shit. GMs are good. GMs make things make sense. Right now, AEW, somebody pushes somebody in the ring, literally 9 seconds later, Excalibur. We just learned that on Dynamite, blah, 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 who just pushed blah, 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 is going to fight each other on blah, 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 blah. Yeah, put a GM out there. GM comes out there, you two want to beat each other so bad? Good. Get a referee. You mean to tell me fans are not going to pop at that? You think fans are going to be like, nobody believes you. You don't have the authority. Tony Khan has to choose the referee. Oh, fuck you. Seriously. Yeah, when you add, the more you think about it, the more ridiculous it is that you don't have a GM. Put a fucking authority figure out there. I thought Nick Aldis did a great job. And I still, I want to try to figure out how I could use that insult on people that I know. I'm just, you know, like, oh, I'm a big fan of your dad. You know, I got to use that in real life. I got to figure out how I could do that. Oh, my God, I heard about the so-and-so. And then just bring up, like, their relative or something just to piss them off. Michael Gonzalez, my favorite Halloween Havoc match or moment. Didn't Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio have that match where Rey wore the purple, you know, Riddler outfit or whatever it was? I think that was Halloween Havoc, right? If it was, that match. That match was amazing at that time. It's still amazing now. And one of my favorites. Benjamin is asking my thoughts on Ricky Starks shaking up Edge and making Edge stumble over his words in a promo. You know, Edge is 20-some-odd year veteran, 25, 26 years. You're going to have a bad day, you know. And plus, I'm not criticizing Ricky Starks and I'm not criticizing Edge. For some of you out there that don't know what happened, go watch the back and forth from their collision appearance yesterday, 14th of October. You know, when you have an exchange, I use the Raw guest host as a good example of that. You know, when we watched the Raw guest hosts back in the day, especially the younger male movie celebrities, the ones that I guess forgot that this is entertainment and a wrestler is going to mock you, what would happen more often than it should? The Raw guest host actor would always try to get the last word in. Or would always try to like ad lib and go into business for themselves and they say a couple of things they're not supposed to. I don't remember who it was, but I remember one time, I think it was Chris Jericho, was in the ring with a Raw guest host. And Jericho was the heel, and Jericho was supposed to say something to really threaten or insult the babyface Raw guest host, the popular Raw guest host, and the crowd was supposed to get behind her. And the Raw guest host, you could feel like he took it personally and started saying, like, no, shut the fuck up. Some guest hosts went into business for themselves. What this has to do with Ricky Starks and Edge, maybe there should have been better communication before collision between the two of them as far as what they're going to say. When two wrestlers have a verbal confrontation in the ring, you know, you go over a lot. You don't go over exactly what each person's going to say, but you have the overall, as far as what you know, is going to be said. It seemed to me like Adam Copeland wasn't prepared for some of what Ricky Stark said. And that may just be a case where they did not go over their shit very, very long beforehand. Or maybe Ricky Stark's because, you know, listen, it's not a criticism on Ricky Stark's, but remember what Jade Cargill said, that they wanted her to use a chair and nobody even ever told her how to use a chair. CM Punk went up to her and said, do you know how to even use a chair? Like, you got to do this, you got to do that. If Ricky Stark's is not, you know, molded a little bit tighter and stick to a certain program, even verbally, you know, he may start thinking, spur of the moment, oh, let me throw this out there, and it catches Edge off guard. That's my take on it. Steve Barbie, could Sami Zayn be the one to dethrone Gunther, or is it possible that it's Sheamus? Well, yesterday when we were talking about Kevin Owens being drafted to SmackDown, one of the positives is that Sami Zayn is absolutely going to be feuding with Gunther. That is coming. Could he be the one to dethrone Gunther? That is very possible. We actually said that on yesterday's show. Sami Zayn could end up being the one to dethrone Gunther. We don't know. That might be a little bit of Sami's reward, you know, since he didn't win the big one at the Chamber. That, okay, you know, he'll be the one to dethrone Gunther. That is very possible. I don't think it'll be Sheamus. Sheamus is on SmackDown, so that's, you know, one wrinkle in this. But Sami Zayn is absolutely a viable candidate. Now, will it happen at Crown Jewel? Probably not. But Crown Jewel, you know, you remember, you're going to see some names that you don't normally see. In fact, this doesn't have to do with Gunther, but I'll throw it out there now. Some people were caught off guard that Logan Paul yesterday called out Rey Mysterio. He wants Rey Mysterio's United States Championship. Now, doesn't that sound awfully fucking random? And then you realize, oh, wait, Crown Jewel's in 3 weeks. Logan Paul going to Crown Jewel, getting a big payday out of it. Yeah, that's probably going to happen. So now we may see Logan Paul versus Rey Mysterio at Crown Jewel. Maybe a title change for Gunther at Crown Jewel, because of the magnitude of a title change taking place at Crown Jewel. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but anything is possible when it comes to Crown Jewel. I didn't say anything about Logan Paul winning the championship. I haven't even thought about it yet. They haven't even done anything on TV. Yesterday could have been nothing. I'm just throwing it out there to prep some of you in case that does happen. All right. We're actually flying by. We're almost halfway done with the show already. Pretty cool. Not that we're almost done, but, you know, time flies when you're having fun. All right. Let's see. C. Henry, could AEW benefit by having TV writers for their programming? Well, you don't know if they have writers or not. They do have a lot of people working behind the scenes. We don't know what goes on in creative meetings, and no one else out there knows either. There are some wrestlers behind the scenes that do have input, but, you know, as far as TV writers, are you talking about other wrestlers, non-wrestlers, Hollywood? You know, when WWE had Hollywood writers back in the day, some people hated it because you would see storylines and you could tell that whoever was writing it knew nothing about pro wrestling. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes in AEW. It does appear that Tony Khan comes up with everything, but that's not necessarily the case. So, you know, for all we know, they definitely do have some writers behind the scenes. Absolutely, they have some writers. You just don't know who. You don't know who is writing what. All right. Let's spread this around a little bit. Okay. Yeah, last night, I want to throw this out there. Last night, Sami Zayn at WWE House Show. I don't know if it was Kansas City. I don't remember where it was, but LA Knight was there. Roman Reigns took on Sami Zayn in the main event. But earlier in the night, Sami Zayn cut a promo. LA Knight was in the ring with him, and Sami Zayn told the fans that to LA Knight that he is LA Knight's going to be the one that is going to end Roman Reigns' streak. Unfortunately, people took that seriously. This is house show. This is Sami Zayn trying to help one of his fellow workers and friend elevate to the next level. LA Knight has no chance whatsoever to dethrone Roman Reigns before WrestleMania 40. But the promo yesterday is going viral. People think, oh, he's got Sami Zayn's seal of approval. No, that is done by design to make it seem like even fellow wrestlers believe LA Knight is the one. He's the chosen one. He's the one that's going to beat Roman Reigns. As much as I like LA Knight, that ain't happening. Jerry Remy with a 10 spot. Thank you, Jerry. Let's see what Jerry has to say. Adam Copeland could probably easily seen, oh, this is different. Maybe Ricky wants to add heat and the Gunther thing. Now that the record is his, he could see Gunther dropping it at any premium live event. Let me tackle Gunther first. Absolutely. Absolutely. I just think the vibe feels like if Gunther, let me put it this way, if Drew McIntyre is not the chosen one to take the belt off of Seth Rollins in the next couple of months, do I think it happens at Crown Jewel? I'm not sure. But it could happen at the next premium live event afterwards. If Drew McIntyre gets that championship from Seth, then I think Gunther will hold on that championship, the IC title, for a lot longer. But if Drew McIntyre fails, then I could see Gunther very well dropping that Intercontinental Championship and then going for Seth Rollins' championship. I don't know if we would do title for title. I don't like that idea. I don't want someone holding two different belts. This is not like Roman Reigns. You're talking about two different, you know, titles. And I don't want a tournament either. But, yeah, Gunther could lose it at any given time. A lot of people still think it's Chad Gable that's going to be the one. I don't see it, to be honest with you. As far as Adam Copeland, yeah, we will never really know. And honestly, I don't think Adam Copeland should explain that. You know, I watched some of the media scrum after WrestleDream. And I remember this woman brought up creative stuff. And I get it. You know, a lot of the questions, the wrestlers are not in character. But we don't need creative explanations for things like this. You know, having AEW make a statement or an apology about the anti-Semitic angle, that's one thing. Edge, you know, doing a little interview. And the worst part about it is, you know, it'll happen. Adam Copeland will do a podcast interview. Somebody will bring this up. And that'll force Adam Copeland to give an answer to it. I don't think something like this we even need an answer for. You know, if you want to be told that, you know, as far as what specifically happened between him and Ricky Starks, and then it feels like, you know, it was just miscommunication, that kind of like puts the air out of the balloon. Suspension of disbelief, you want to believe that there is legit friction between these guys. So, but I agree with you. I mean, it could be something as simple as that. But I don't think we even need to know the answer. I think we should just move on and see where it goes from here. I don't know if it amounts to anything. You know, would they possibly have Brian Danielson and Adam Copeland team up on a regular basis? I don't like that idea. Brian Danielson's Blackpool Combat Club. I don't care where they came from. I don't care. I remember, you know, the match with Roman. Wasn't there a three-way? Like, I know the history, but I think where this goes from here, we'll see. But I don't think it's something that we really need to, like, hold on to. You know, it was an awkward moment, an interesting moment yesterday, but I don't think we should really need to know specifically. Okay, Kevin wants to know, will we live long enough to see a sixth generation wrestler? No, no. even if you have a third generation wrestler right now, that wrestler would need to be 20 years old, give birth to somebody else. That person would, even at minimum, live 16 years, give birth to somebody else. And then, no, you're talking a minimum of like 42, 52 years. For some of us, we'll be long gone, cursing you all out in the heavens or from hell. But no, we will not see a sixth generation wrestler unless, like, nah, there's nobody. Because even like no-name wrestlers that are like third generation and their families are not very well known, they would have to give birth and then their child would have to get, no, no. Oliver Norgrove. What's up, Oliver? Thank you for the five spot, Oliver. DT, whose promos did I prefer? Jake the Snake Roberts or Bray Wyatt and why? To him, they were similar in terms of tone, inflection, but wording was very different. Well, I don't put Bray Wyatt and Jake Roberts in the same bucket. Just because of their character and style, you know, just like I don't put Jake the Snake Roberts and Waylon Mercy in the same bucket. Jake Roberts was not a gimmick. You know what I mean? Like Bray Wyatt, you know, we had the six shades of Bray, as we used to talk about. But Jake Roberts, when you heard him talk and get intense and get very demonic, you kind of felt like that kind of reflected him in real, like Jake Roberts was, it was not really a gimmick. So I can't compare the two, but if you're going to ask me which one I liked more, they're different types of promos. Bray Wyatt was more like cult sci-fi, you know, like paranormal, you know, like just things like that. Jake Roberts was just intense, intense. It's unfair for me to choose one or the other, but if I really had to choose, even though Bray Wyatt was my favorite for many years, Jake Roberts. Because Jake Roberts, he could be challenging my sixth grade teacher to a match. Jake Roberts would cut a promo from the 80s, and you just like stopped what you're doing and you would get into it. And for some reason, you just felt it. You wanted to see that match. Jake Roberts was spectacular with his promos. It didn't feel like a promo. Bray Wyatt, it was theater. Jake Roberts was not theater. Jake Roberts was intimidating. So I would prefer Jake Roberts just because it was more real in that sense. It wasn't theater. Tristan wants to know my favorite Vince McMahon match. Somebody asked me this not too long ago. I mean, you know, you got to understand Vince McMahon, he was not there to have great matches. Maybe the one with Ric Flair. I mean, the Steve Austin one, I'll never forget. When they fought on Raw. In fact, isn't that like the highest rating ever that night? But when he came out, we already knew that Vince was jacked. But when he had that tank top, the wife beater on, and he was like this. I remember Jerry Lawler specifically, like, baffled, like, how jacked Vince McMahon looked. But I don't remember Vince matches and, like, what was my favorite. They were all storyline driven. You know, his match with Bret, Steve Austin is the greatest feud ever, you know, but Vince, I think this week is the anniversary of Vince versus Stephanie. I think it is the anniversary. It's either this week or next week is the anniversary of Vince McMahon versus Stephanie in the ring. And that was awkward. Vince versus Shane was okay. All right. Byron is asking, am I excited for WWE 2K24? No, not yet. I mean, I don't know how much different it's going to be compared to 2K23. I mean, you know, when you see the way the games are now, they just tweak little things. If there's a completely different engine, all right, maybe I would feel a little, no, I just, to me, it's the same vibes I have with 2K23. When it comes out, we'll see what the improvements are. But, no, I mean, I haven't really been like, oh, I can't wait for it. I mean, back in the day, when there was like the Madden games, when the Madden games first came out, like you couldn't wait for the following year. The difference is back at that time, every year there would be like substantial improvements to it. I don't know if it was World Series Baseball that was on Genesis. Some reason there was a baseball franchise. But the EA Sports back in the day, every year you expected big upgrades. I don't necessarily know what kind of upgrades are going to be for 2K24. So, Rocky Red is asking, with his arrival official, do I think Nick Aldis, Magnus, will finally wrestle in WWE? How cool was it to see Nick and Cody share the ring together? Yeah, I remember their rivalry in NWA was not that long ago. I'm happy that he made his debut. It felt right. It felt like it made sense. People bought into it. And you put Dominic Mysterio in there, and he insults the crap out of Dominic Mysterio. That's a good way to start. You know what I mean? I'm sure some people online, storyline-wise, were not happy that he gave Charlotte a rematch. Everybody seems to look the other way with that. You know, people can't stand, no, Charlotte, she's always in the title picture. Nick Aldis gives her a match, and people are quiet about it. So I like it. I like it. Very much like it. Okay. Jerry Ramey with another 10 spot. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry asks, DT, I can't put a finger on it, but if Cody feels ice cold, I know The Rock showed up. Oh, he feels Cody is ice cold right now. He knows The Rock showed up, but it feels like not in 24, it's time to move on. Look, this is the best way I could describe this. And believe me, when you do this for 20-some-odd years, you do feel a lot of repetitive things happen. When you get in, and listen, if you think that I'm wrong, go do the research and you'll see. When you get in the September to November months, football is back, Raw ratings decline. If you look at a year ago, 2 years ago, even 3 years ago, AEW, right around this time, you see articles. I swear to you, I will never do a show again if I'm lying. If you Google and do a date search from October to November, from last year, October to November, the year before, go back 2 years, you will see articles from some of your favorite journalists having discussions about concern about the AEW audience. The attendance going down. The numbers going down. They wrote about it a year ago. They wrote about it 2 years ago. They really didn't write about it 3 years ago because we were getting out of COVID and obviously things were a different environment at that time. My point is, wrestling usually does get a lull in the fall months. Once you get past Survivor Series and it starts the road to the Royal Rumble, that's when WrestleMania is somewhat in sight. That's where things start picking up. Then you have Survivor Series, you have War Games, and that kind of picks it up a little bit. Then you get to the road to the Royal Rumble. In a couple of months, the feeling of Cody Rhodes being ice cold will go away. It went away last year. It went away. It'll go away this year. Every year at this time, certain things about wrestling do get cold. It, again, you're more than welcome to do the research. Search around mid-September to mid-November and look at the articles that come up. You will see it almost immediately come up. Concern over AEW, attendance decline, ratings decline, and it's always in the fall months. So, Cody, right now, yeah, you're going to hit some lulls because you can't have Cody and Roman rekindle their feud 6 months before WrestleMania. So they kind of tease it, reintroduce it. Then you wait a couple of weeks and you go from there. So in 2 months, that vibe will be gone. I'm pretty confident that vibe will be gone. Mike Lee wants to know, do I think Sting will announce his retirement Wednesday? No, I don't think so. I think if he was going to announce his retirement this soon, he would have done it on Title Tuesday. Sting has a major announcement for AEW fans. I would have put that on Title Tuesday. There's a couple of things that AEW should have put on Title Tuesday. Yes, you know, you look at it now, I mean, you're Monday morning quarterbacking it. But if they were this close of Sting retiring, announces retirement, I would have done it last Tuesday. So no, I don't believe, you know, he might tease that it's beginning of the end. Then maybe there's a confrontation. And he's not done just yet. So that's my vibe. Why would you just do it a week later? I wouldn't do that. Okay. Let's start bringing this home. Trying to spread out the questions. If anybody has a question that hasn't asked one yet, you're more than welcome to. Twix is asking me my thoughts on Joker Sting. I didn't like it at first, but then I thought it was a pisser. I thought it was a pisser. It was just so out there. I thought after a while, I thought Sting was legitimately having fun with it. I mean, it was just goofy, but it caught on for me. Like, when he first did it, I thought it was, what the fuck are they doing with Sting? Then after a little while, it legitimately felt like Sting was having fun. When he did that Joker about a month ago, when he did that promo in AEW, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. When you feel like he's having fun with that character, yeah, I didn't like it at first, but after a while, it caught on for me. And I enjoyed it. I mean, TNA didn't do the greatest job with it, but I still thought it was good. Bobby Means, with the decline of TV, he thinks Amazon Prime Video is going to make a pitch for Raw and possibly WWE media rights as a whole once the Peacock deal is up. Yeah, that is definitely something to think about. You know, look, when WWE was up for sale, and you actually had wrestling websites report that the Khans were interested, Tony and Shad Khan, you knew that that was asinine clickbait just to get people. And it's and you look back on it, it's like embarrassing how many legitimate people in the wrestling media that actually talked about that. There was no chance for Shad and Tony Khan to buy WWE. Asinine, moronic. Clickbait. Amazon Prime, though, making a pitch for Raw and NXT, yeah, I believe it. Amazon Prime making a pitch to have WWE on their network, yeah, I could see that too. Even though I'm used to Peacock, I don't visit Peacock like I did with the WWE network. I go on Peacock more to watch On Patrol Live than I do to watch WWE. I go on Peacock 8 times a month to watch On Patrol Live. I go on Peacock 2 times a month to watch WWE. The WWE Network, once it became Peacock, especially early on, I just couldn't buy into it. So ever since they left, I mean, the WWE Network's still available for those outside the United States. A lot of people don't know that. I could get turn on my Norton VPN and watch the WWE Network right now. The old school section used to be my favorite, but they never updated it. So, but yeah, Amazon making a play. Yeah, absolutely. Right now, a bunch of websites are all clickbaiting about the idea of Raw leaving Monday nights as a possibility. That was a discussion you and I had couple of times months ago. That is a legitimate possibility. If a network or streaming network wants to give enough money to WWE, but the catch is that Raw is on Tuesday night instead of Monday night, Raw will move to Tuesday night. Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen? I'm not sure. But, yeah, that is definitely a possibility. Triple X, thank you for the 555. Love that number. That actually was my grandmother's home address. Can't say the street that she lived in Ridgewood. Well, actually, I can. Well, no, I can't, because then you could look up the street, the address, and you could probably pull her name. Then you could pull my whole family tree. Then you could try to commit credit fraud against me. Wouldn't get much because our credit is not that great, but 555 was actually her home address. Another Nostradamus with Jade Cargill crossing Charlotte, their impassing on SmackDown. WWE AEW writers watch podcasts like me and change script based on us and our logic. I don't think like WWE or AEW or Impact or MLW, I don't think any of them change their writing because of what podcasters say. But wrestlers who enjoy podcasts will take ideas from podcasters or even fans. You know, just because somebody works for a wrestling company doesn't mean that their ideas will 100% of the time always be better than a fan's idea. Sometimes fans come up with tremendous ideas. Listen, me calling Jade Cargill and Charlotte Flair months ago was something that a lot of people brought up. It's just that most people out there that podcast, and they just want to put up the clickbait part of things, not the real conversations like tomorrow. I'm sure a lot of you saw the thumbnail preview for tomorrow's show. I don't normally do that, but I wanted to do it because I want to be the only person out there that's doing this. I saw people, I don't want to say any wrestlers, but some legendary wrestlers who have podcasts, they have a big letters. WWE says to CM Punk, we don't want you. And two of these wrestlers are legendary. One was a manager also. And I'm looking at their shows today and I'm like, why even do that? You know that we're only in October, that we're nowhere near WrestleMania, that WWE is not going to say flat out no to CM Punk this early in the game. We're so far away from Mania. And to turn around and buy into, because Meltzer says that WWE said no to CM Punk. I'm a fan of Meltzer's, but this is the same camp that wrote so much negative stuff about CM Punk. And when he got fired from AEW, I remember watching, I'm not in a bizarre world, I remember watching Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez not even 2 months ago saying we weren't hard enough on CM Punk. That Dave Meltzer was saying that, oh, we were actually, you know, very lenient with his stuff, that we weren't hard enough. And now I'm supposed to buy that his connections are close to CM Punk? Or who in WWE management do you think talks to anybody in the wrestling media world that says, TKO Group Holdings told CM Punk, go fuck yourself, we don't want you. This is not Vince McMahon's WWE anymore. Chairman, Triple H, everything's got to go through TKO Group Holdings, Inc., LLC, whatever it is. So, you know, people don't want to focus on common sense. They want to post, talk about whatever gets the most attention. And then when the obvious comes out, then they change their ways. When it gets closer and you see that CM Punk is a likely happening for Mania, you'll see people suddenly change their shit. Just like even with the Jade Cargill stuff, you know. But no, I'm not no Nostradamus. I just look at things in reality, and I try to stay away from the clickbait. That's why we're always accurate. I mean, honestly, let's be honest. If I said shit wrong on these shows, You don't think that there's a bunch of people out there waiting to go in the comment section of any of my shows like, DT, you were fucking wrong. Holy shit, were you wrong in this? Or you said this and it's not true. You don't ever see that because I stay away from that stuff. But tomorrow when we talk about CM Punk, yeah, CM Punk, WWE is not interested. Yet. Not eat. Yet. It's too early. People think because Survivor Series is in Chicago that everything has to be CM Punk. Those are the same people that think that Roman Reigns should face The Rock at WrestleMania. Blow a two-year storyline and everything about Dusty Rhodes and finishing the story because, oh, The Rock and Roman Reigns is the marquee attraction and that's the bigger match. This, that. Those are the people that just need that hit, that fix. Oh. Yeah, they have to have that emotional high for that moment. Those are the same people. Sami Zayn got to win an Elimination Chamber. Zelina Vega got to win in Puerto Rico. Those are the same people that don't use common sense. That you ain't going to fuck up a story for 2 years because The Rock is available. And then what happens? The Rock leaves a month later. They fucked up that two-year story for this motherfucker to be here for just 1 month. 1 month later, WrestleMania is long forgotten. So, no. I don't have an all-time favorite wrestling match. I don't. You see tens of thousands of matches in your lifetime, there isn't one favorite. There's none. Nope. Okay, where are we at? We're at 62 minutes. Let's finish in 10 minutes. Think we had a lot of topics of discussion tonight. Smooth, a lot of fun. Mo Word says that AEW killed the indies. COVID killed the indies. COVID killed the indies. Problem is, a decent number of indie companies went out of business. Some momentum that MLW had and NWA had got fucked up big time. Impact Wrestling, they depended so much on AEW at that time that they had Kenny Omega and Christian hold their championship for, what, almost a year? And, man, did that send the wrong message to not only the Impact wrestlers but Impact fans that our own wrestlers are not strong enough to carry the championship, that we need a little rub for AEW. We weren't stupid. We weren't stupid. I'm not trying to throw shade at Impact Wrestling right now, but when Impact Wrestling and AEW were doing something and you would have people show up on Impact, I'm like, okay, yeah, Camille showed up one time on Dynamite, and I remember she walked up these metal steps and she looked dressed really hot, and it went nowhere. And I was like, to me, that was like the biggest Impact exposure. And she wasn't even in Impact. She was in NWA. Like, what is the Impact Wrestling moment? Anything, Invasion, something. What? That Don Callis is sitting in an outside truck with Gallows and Anderson, who were in Impact at the time? Like, of all that time, the only person who stood out to me the most was Camille walking up the steps. And I'm like, that should be Impact Wrestling. Everything was so one-sided. And it hurt their company. And a lot of companies have not recovered. The level of talent is just not available. You look at a lot of these indie shows out there, you look at the talent, it's not a shot on the current talent, but the name value is nowhere near what it was even 10 years ago. Even when I watch local indie events, I mean, you got some exceptions, GCW, House of Hardcore, you know, you got a few. Is it still House of Hardcore? I you know what I mean? Like, there's a few companies out there that will have AEW names on it. You'll have some people here and there, but for as far as the regular indies, the promotions that you never heard of before, all regionally, they don't have the shows like they used to, so. All right. Kevin Milwaukee with a five spot. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin asks, in the land of pathetic notions, do I think it's only a matter of time Don Tizzle, until we see the day when Dave Meltzer does a run-in on TV. I think he meant Don Tony. Do I think it's a matter of time until we see the day that Dave Meltzer does a run-in on TV? I don't think Dave Meltzer will ever do a run-in on TV, but I can see Dave Meltzer do an appearance. We had Conrad Thompson, and I like Conrad. I'm friendly with him. I have no issues with Conrad. He made a little cameo on AEW TV. Bischoff made a couple of appearances. I don't know if he's welcome back on AEW TV. I think it's only a matter of time that Dave Meltzer makes an appearance on AEW TV. It would be really interesting. It would be really interesting to see the fan reaction at an AEW event towards Dave Meltzer. Because you would think, oh, Dave Meltzer, the Elite, they have Meltzer driver. You know, Dave is 150% AEW. They would love him. They would want to make a monument for him. I would be really curious to see the AEW crowd reaction to Dave Meltzer at a show. So do I see him do a run-in? No. Do I see him making an appearance for AEW? Yeah. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It'd be interesting. I'm a little surprised when they have done stuff with judges that they haven't done something yet with the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega, with Dave Meltzer as one of the judges. And, you know, you could easy storyline. Oh, shit, the fix is in. Dave Meltzer's one of the judges. Of course he's going to choose his favorites. You know, you just to throw a little curveball. But they haven't done that. I'm a little surprised that they haven't. Thank you, Kevin. Steve Langenheim. Do I think Tony Khan has it to go as long as Vince to own a wrestling company until he's close to 80? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. AEW is not going out of business anytime soon. I just think that Tony Khan at some point will give it up. Might not happen for 10, 20, 30 years, but I don't know anybody in wrestling that, listen, it's so rare for Vince to own WWE for 41 years. You know, how many other promoters out there back in the day? But I don't know how long Varangana had his, but it's such a rarity. Look, Tony Khan, could he own it 41 years? Yeah, it's possible, but I'd be happy if Tony Khan owns it for the next 21 years or 11 years. Tristan wanted to let everybody know his mom is out of the hospital. That is very cool. But she will have tubes in her stomach draining blood and fluid from her lungs till December. I know a lot of people were asking in the last couple of weeks, oh, what happened with Tristan's mom? Listen, that is temporary, just to get her healed and stabilized, and that is good. She's out of the hospital. That's the most important thing. The tubes are not fun. They can be painful. I know someone who had something very similar, but if she is good to go in December, then that will be a long-distant memory as well. So, listen, when it comes to moms, you're looking at one of the biggest mama's boys right here. That's why when I had the discussion yesterday about Tony Khan and the tweet about his mom, and that was kind of a slippery slope to talk about. But since he commingled WWE in the tweets about his mom and her dire situation, I thought it was only appropriate to call him out on it. And I couldn't believe the social media response to me. I'm like, I ain't a fucking troll. Don't treat me like a troll. Just because he says something doesn't mean that it's true. And I brought up what I brought up yesterday, and if you didn't see the show, you should. It's a very serious discussion. I think I caught him in a major exaggeration, might be the right word to use. But I know it's not going to catch steam or catch fire. People would rather just look the other way, you know, and that's fine. That's fine. We know the truth. But, you know, it's a little disturbing to see so many people, you know, turn a blind eye for some of the weirdest things that go on. But good for you, Tristan, and your mom. Absolutely. All right. 3-4 more minutes and we're out of here. Byron, you don't have to post your question 10 times. That's when I intentionally ignore them, but I will answer yours. When do I think Brock Lesnar returns? Crown Jewel's around the corner. Brock Lesnar is usually a must for Crown Jewel. I could see Brock Lesnar show. I want to see Brock Lesnar versus Gunther. I know everybody says, oh, that's a WrestleMania match. No, I could see Brock Lesnar challenging Gunther at Crown Jewel. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but yeah, I think Brock Lesnar could absolutely return in time for Crown Jewel. In fact, I would not be surprised if they announce Brock Lesnar will be at Crown Jewel and he doesn't even make an appearance on Raw or SmackDown beforehand. I mean, do I see him showing up? Yeah. Who knows? Maybe after Bronson Reed loses to Gunther, maybe Brock Lesnar shows up, throws an F5 to Bronson Reed, throws an F5 to Gunther, and we get that match at Crown Jewel. Hey, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we can't. We have every right to fantasize. There's nothing wrong with fantasizing, right? I think he's back for Crown Jewel. Shouldn't he be? You almost feel like it's a given. It's a must. You know, every Crown Jewel event that goes by is one less under the current deal with WWE. And WWE wants to keep Saudi, Prince, and everybody involved. They want to keep them so happy that, I can't wait to sign the new deal. You know, like, give me the checkbook. You know, so they want to make sure that not even one event goes by where it feels like they just winged it. The amount of money that's involved is more than WrestleMania. And that's something that people don't think about. So, all right, two more questions and we're out of here. Don't know if Santos Escobar will turn on Rey. You know, if we say it long enough, it'll happen. We talked about this a month ago. It doesn't feel like it should happen. If anything, it feels like Carlito will turn before Santos does. You're not going to have an LWO with just Rey and Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. It's got to have another individual because Rey, even when he comes out for his matches, they don't do LWO music all the time. They do his music. So right now, it's a toss-up. Chaos says Saudi Arabia may not and perhaps should not be viable with the instability of the region. Oh, no. If anything, listen, what's going on around Israel and the Gaza Strip is awful. That doesn't mean that Saudi Arabia is off limits now. We had that a couple of years ago where there was a lot of concern that WWE's Crown Jewel event would be canceled because of some unrest in Iran. In fact, if I remember at the time, didn't the U.S. bomb like an area in Iran or something close to it or Iraq? There was a lot of unrest and, you know, there was even wrestling websites at the time that were clickbaiting that, you know, the WWE event may be canceled. That wasn't even on the table. So, no, I do not expect them to cancel Crown Jewel. All right, last question for tonight from B, and that's the letter B, not B-E-A. Do I think Gunther needs to drop the belt somehow to enter the world title picture, or could we see the same thing like Warrior or Goldberg? Well, we kind of had this conversation an hour ago. I don't want to see Gunther going against Seth Rollins title for title. That's what we were talking about earlier. You know, it's not the Raw and SmackDown championships, even though Seth has a title now, like Roman Reigns holds two belts technically, even though they want you to forget that there was a red and a blue belt in the background. But Gunther, again, like I said earlier, if Drew McIntyre beats Seth Rollins, may not happen at Crown Jewel, may happen after Crown Jewel. I, as of right now, think Drew McIntyre is winning that championship. You do not do this tremendous character change to Drew McIntyre, especially after him not winning the big one at Clash at the Castle last year. I think if you're going to go this far with Drew McIntyre's change, you haven't won the championship. If he wins that championship, Gunther will hold on to that title for a little while longer, maybe even into WrestleMania. But if Drew McIntyre fails, and again, I don't think it's just one time. Even if he loses a crown jewel, doesn't mean that he's not going to win it the second time around. But if Drew ends up going through his feud with Seth and not win the championship, I think there is a very good chance of Gunther dropping that championship and then going for Seth. But you also don't want the impression, you don't want that visible aura of Gunther just losing a championship that is now a record, and then immediately after, go for the heavyweight title. If you just think about that, it kind of sounds a little bit ass backwards. Wait, you just lost your belt. Why do you deserve a title shot for the bigger title? You're like, you just failed on the secondary title. Now you want the first one? You would have to have some space between the two. So I don't want to see Gunther versus Seth title for title. And I don't think we will have that. But if we do, sure, Gunther could get it. I just don't want to see a tournament. I don't want to see a tournament, but that could very well happen. Imagine this. Gunther versus Seth Rollins, title for title. Gunther wins. And then Adam Pearce makes an announcement that you cannot hold the heavyweight title and the Intercontinental Championship at the same time. So, therefore, Gunther must surrender the Intercontinental Championship, and we will crown a new champion in a tournament. What does that do? It has Gunther drop the title without getting pinned or even submitted. That the only reason why Gunther... Listen, look at Asuka. Asuka has an undefeated streak in NXT. It was mind-boggling how many people did not know that on Tuesday. I was shocked on social media how many people did not know that. Asuka, people forgot, had to surrender the women's championship because of injury. So Asuka left NXT undefeated. Gunther could end up undefeated with that title. And I know you're going to say, oh, no, he's got to count that loss. He's got to beat the clock challenge loss. I get it. But he hasn't been pinned, and he hasn't submitted to anybody. Gunther could very well become your world heavyweight champion and then be forced to surrender the IC title, do a tournament, and Gunther, in the record books, was never pinned, never submitted. In fact, the more I think about that, the more it sounds like it could happen. Doesn't that sound like it could happen? I mean, when somebody said earlier, like, you know, maybe wrestling companies listen to podcasts for ideas, that's an awesome... More I think about it, that is a possibility. That's a way Gunther could win the heavyweight title, drop the IC title without getting pinned or submitted. We'll see. All right, everybody. I'm going to jet out of here. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight for the sit-down. Much love to everybody who was live, especially in the chat, giving me great questions and topics for us to discuss tonight. Some very, very viable scenarios and possibilities going forward, not only in WWE, but in AEW and elsewhere. And I want to thank, who was it at the beginning? Was it Sal about the Impact Wrestling stuff, the NWA stuff? Because that brought back memories of Impact with their fees when they were, it was actually NWA at the time. It was NWA TNA, if I recall. Or maybe it was just TNA, but still, kind of feels the same thing with Billy Corgan, so... If you're around tomorrow night, you're welcome to join me after Raw. Tomorrow we're going to discuss Raw, obviously. Any matches for Crown Jewel, we'll talk ratings, a little This Week in Wrestling History preview, and we will talk a little bit about Punk. I know there was another comment made on SmackDown that could be interpreted for Punk. That's intentional to troll fans, but we will have an honest discussion about CM Punk and his possible future in WWE. What headlines are out there are very incomplete. I don't want to say they're wrong. They're very incomplete. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So, my friends, I am out of here. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. I don't need to beg you or ask you. You know what to do. But at least keep spreading the word. DonTony.com. Very excited to see what our numbers look like tomorrow in the charts. So we'll see how much we climbed over the last 7 days. If you have not checked out October 14th edition of the Don Tony Show, I promise you, it is one of the best shows that I have done probably in the last 5 years. The discussion was very, very on point, and I was very happy with the organization too, because from now on, we want to keep all the WWE discussion in one sitting, and then the AEW discussion in one sitting, and not keep going back and forth and back and forth throughout the show. So that is something I am intentionally making sure we do going forward. So at least you know when we're talking WWE, everything that we have to talk about WWE related will be in that sitting. So be well, everybody. Have a good rest of your Sundays. All the best.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Hey, I know there's still quite a few of you still connected. I just wanted to put this out there. These are for older fans out there, just in the pop culture world. I just got DM'd that Suzanne Somers passed away. Remember Three's Company, Chrissy Snow? She died 76 years old. I think a lot of you remember from Three's Company, but didn't she do a TV show with Patrick Duffy? I think she did a TV show with Patrick Duffy, and she had a lot of aerobics. She did the squat. Anybody remember the that sit-up machine, the crunches? I remember her with the crunch machine back in the 80s. But as I was going off the air, I was looking at my DMs, and a few people were letting me know that Suzanne Somers passed away. She had breast cancer. I thought she had breast cancer a long time ago, so it must have come back. But wow, and she would have been 77 on Monday. So she died a day before her birthday, it appears. So, all right, I just figured I'd mention it before we go off the air. So rest in peace, Suzanne Somers. Take care, everybody.